Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Searchlight Town Advisory Board meeting, August 14th, 2024. Items on the agenda may be taken out of order. The board may combine two or more items for consideration. The board may move an item on the agenda or delay discussion relating to an item at any time. No action may be taken on any matter not listed on the posted agenda. All planning and zoning matters heard at this meeting are then forwarded to the Board of County Commissioners, Zoning Commission, or the Clark County Planning Commission for final action. Please turn off or mute all cell phones and electronic devices. Make any private conversations, please take outside the room. With the 48-hour advanced request, assign language interpreter or other reasonable efforts to assist and accommodate persons with physical disabilities may be made available by calling 702-455-3530. Supporting material provided to the board for this meeting may be requested from Tammy Harris at 702-298-0828. Supporting material is also available at the Clark County Department of Administrative Services, 550 South Central Grand Central Parkway, 6th floor, Las Vegas, Nevada. Supporting material will also be available on the county's website at clarkcountynv.gov/searchlighttam. Board members, Kyle Myers, chairperson, James Allen, vice chairperson, Kim Colton, Natalie Jeter, Kayla McGinnis, secretary, Tammy Harris, and county liaison, Mark Moskowitz. Call the meeting to order. Stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Did you mention it was being videoed?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And just note that we are being video recorded. If you want to see this later, you can see it on YouTube. Just look for Searchlight Nevada Town Advisory Board. Roll call. Kyle Myers, not here. James Allen, present. Kim Colton,
present.
Natalie Jeter, not present. Kayla McGinnis,
present.
This is a public comment period. This is a period devoted to comments by the general public about items on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You will be afforded the opportunity to speak on an individual public hearing items at the time they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board about these items, about items within its jurisdiction but not on this agenda, you must wait until the comments by the general public period listed at the end of this agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please speak up to the speaker's podium. If applicable, state name, address. Please spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of a presentation, this will be done by the chairperson or the board by majority vote. Any public comment? Item on the agenda, approval of minutes for July 10, 2024. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
Motion to approve.
Have a second? I'll second. Motion approved, or rather, can we vote on that, please? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion passed. Approval of the agenda for August 14th, 2024. And hold, combine, or delete any items for possible action. We have a motion to approve this.
A motion.
Second.
Oh, seconded.
Go ahead. And then approve. Say aye.
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 Okay. Passes. Informational items, receive a report and updates from the South County Liaison Mark Moskowitz on the second annual Searchlight Back to School Health and Wellness Fair, August 9th, hosted by Commissioner Knapp, and any other updates from Clark County.
Perfect, thank you, Vice Chair. I want to thank the community so much for coming out on Friday, August 9th for our Back to School Health Fair. It was so wonderful to see all the vendors there. I want to thank Tammy from my office for doing the check-in and handing out the swag bags. We had so many great things with UMC. They were giving away booster seats. We had so many good giveaways. The library was there. I want to thank Sammy and Melissa back there. They did a wonderful job with ribs and things, with doing barbecue. It was delicious, so thank you so much for being a part of our event. We're going to do these annually, so thank you so much to the community for coming out. If anyone needs, we've got a few leftover backpacks and stuff. If anyone in the community with Back to School needs a backpack, just reach out to our office or talk to Michelle Brown here, and she'll be able to give you a backpack because we had a few left over. So that was a great event. I also want to remind everyone that Back to School, it started, so just please be aware on the roads, just for students that are walking, just be cautious, maybe leave a few minutes early so you don't feel rushed. I know it's the first week, everyone's kind of getting back in the swing of things, so just take that extra time and be sure to look out if, you know, students that might be running across the street and stuff, and be safe. So I want to thank Renee Yepes and her Metro officers for hosting a Coffee with a Cop before this meeting. Renee, thank you so much. I know we had discussed setting one up here in Searchlight, and they did a wonderful job, and it's so great to talk with all the Metro officers and volunteers in just a casual environment. It's so good to know your officers and everything. So I want to thank everyone that's here with Metro. You guys always do such a wonderful job in our community, so thank you for that. One other quick thing is just a reminder, September 28th is going to be the Animal Vaccine Clinic. It'll be in the afternoon around probably 2 o'clock. We're still kind of finalizing it. The Animal Foundation will be doing vaccines again. They're kind of still setting up a time because it's a little bit more than a month out. So later this month, they'll have more of a set time, but we're looking forward to that. That'll be a great event, and please bring your animals and pets and let your neighbors know. And as always, we're going to be doing the one in Laughlin during the first of the year, because that was done last year in the first, or this year, or last year during the first of the year. So we'll be doing that to keep it on the yearly cycle. And then as always, we have Commissioner Knapp's newsletter in the back. This has got a lot of good information. Please let us know if you'd like to get an electronic copy of it. Just reach out to our office and we can do that as well. So. Perfect. And then one last thing, I just want to let everyone know my lovely parents are here tonight. So they've been shadowing me, and thank you for the community for all your kind words to my parents and myself. It really, Searchlight, you've always been so wonderful to myself and to my family. So just thank you so much. It warms my heart. So thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
Your son is amazing, and he's been a huge asset to this town and to the board and just to all of us for everything he's done. So.
Okay. Next informational item, receive an awards presentation from the Laughlin Rotary to honor a first responder for dedication and contributions to the Laughlin Searchlight community.
Thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. I'm Jackie Wallen. I am the Laughlin Tourism Commission's Executive Director, but I stand here as President of the Laughlin Rotary. We kind of brought Searchlight into our arms because anything that happens for Rotary, we want to make sure that you guys are included, including our last big program, making sure all educators had a tote full of all the things that they need, because once you give a child a backpack with things in it, it never comes back to school. So we gave the educators all the tools that they needed this year in Searchlight and in Laughlin, and that equaled probably about 70 totes full of tons of things that they needed, depending on the age that they were educating. I would like to introduce the Rotary that's here. We have Meg McDaniels, past president. We have John and Heidi Sineski. They are students at Laughlin High School. Meg, she represents the Las Vegas Convention Visitors Authority. And then we have Ben Willett. He is here representing our Rotary and also in charge of marketing at the Riverside Resort. My president-elect coming up is Renee Yepes, and she represents the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department. One of our favorite programs is acknowledging that we have Students of the Month at our high school, our K through, we do only high school, right, junior?
Eight through 12.
Thank you for helping me with that. And we identify one every month. We give them acknowledgement, we praise them, we give them a wonderful water bottle, we give them gift cards, and we make sure that they're in a pot of all the 9 months of Students of the Month to be Student of the Year at the end of the year. And it's been a great program. It's really encouraged a lot of other students to raise the bar for themselves and give them encouragement to be not just better students, but better people, which is what Rotary is all about. We get included in scholarships and in leadership. Our next, our other one that's probably along the same program is our First Responder of the Quarter. We do this quarterly, and we give an award to a first responder in the Laughlin Searchlight area that has done great things in our community for our citizens, for our resorts, for our schools, and generally just a really good person. And to present that tonight, I'm going to let Renee take over and read a little bio about this person.
So, can you hear me okay? So, during the process of figuring out who is going to receive this award, there's nominees that come to us, and then the Rotary reviews the nominees, and a decision is made. So, Sergeant Mark Andres went ahead and put in this nominee. Christian Jeter, LVMPD Police Officer 2, First Responder of the Second Quarter 2024. Officer Chris Jeter has always been resolute in following his dreams. The 6'8" former running rebel, who was part of the UNLV winning national championship team during the 1989-90 season, went on to graduate with a bachelor's degree in criminal justice. Part of those dreams included that he knew he wanted to be a police officer growing up. Being the eldest of 6 children, he often felt the need to act as a protector to his younger siblings. It just became natural for the big fella. Character and integrity are traits that an individual has and are not learned. Officer Jeter exemplifies these traits both as an officer and as a human. Just one example, a mini, Officer Jeter responded to check the welfare of an elderly female during the summer months last year. During his interaction with the female, he took the time to listen. He took the time to listen to her and to speak to her. It was during his time with her that he learned her electricity had been turned off. This was during the middle of the day in Laughlin when the temperature was well over 120 degrees. Due to her age, along with other concerning health issues, Officer Jeter knew this was unacceptable and attempted to reach out to the utility company and other resources for help. Officer Jeter could not get any immediate assistance, and the elderly female would not leave her residence. Faced with this, Officer Jeter knew the outcome would be horrific if he did not do something. Officer Jeter then took it upon himself to pay the elderly lady's power bill, which restored her power within 30 minutes. Officer Jeter followed up by returning and checking on the elderly female throughout his work week. Officer Jeter joined the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department in July of 2000. During this time with the department, he has held assignments at Bolden Area Command, Traffic Bureau, and his current assignment in the Residence Section. Since coming to Laughlin Searchlight Residence Section in 2018, Officer Jeter has taken his role of being a protector of the community to heart. He quickly made Searchlight his community and became part of that community. Officer Jeter sold his house in Las Vegas and bought a home in Searchlight, relocating his family there. Since that time, Officer Jeter has volunteered, helped, worked, donated, cooked, fed, and just about anything else he could possibly do, all on his own time away from work to better the community. Officer Jeter goes to monthly Searchlight Town Advisory Board meetings to update the town on monthly calls for service, traffic citations, and any crime trends going on. He regularly will buy food to cook for the Searchlight Senior Center and feed the seniors. Officer Jeter is a very assiduous and fervent man to his work, his wife, his family, and his community. Officer Jeter has given so much to us and to this community that we are deeply honored to recognize him and present him with a token of our affection and appreciation with this award. Officer Jeter, will you please come receive your award?
Have any questions or comments for Renee or Jackie?
I do. I would like to do a separate round of applause. I can't do a clap to the Rotary for helping our children. I had no idea that you did that, and we're grateful for you, including our children and with what you do in Laughlin. And thank you all very much for that help. It's very appreciated.
Next informational item, receive a report from Metro Police regarding activity and statistics during the past month and other area crime concerns.
Jeter coming back.
Okay. Chris, no. Oh, are you coming back? Oh, we have someone
else.
Are you
else? Doing staff? <All right.
laughs> Chris is a special moment, so I'll take it. I'm Officer Shulman with Metro Police. I've been out here in Searchlight for about 6 years now. And I'll go over the quick stats that we had for the last month. See, calls for service in Searchlight for July of 2024, we have 32. That's compared to 29 in July of 2023, just over a 10% increase. June of 2024, we had 38, so we are down from last month. Traffic citations were 33 this month. No DUIs or domestic arrests or anything like that. There was one adult arrest, and I'll just quickly and briefly go over that. BB Motel, we had 3 calls for service in July, compared to 0 the month prior. Apparently, there's a new manager on site, and there was an incident where a subject pulled a gun, and another person was pepper sprayed. So, long, kind of drawn-out story. Keep it short. The manager was ultimately arrested for coercion with force, and I believe the DA is looking at upping those charges. And that's all we have. Any questions?
Board have any questions?
So where is the Searchlight area? Because I know that there was actually in our report this month on the fire department, there was a murder that occurred.
Okay, so that was actually being investigated as a self-defense homicide. I don't have all the details on
okay.
that. All I know is that there was some kind of domestic that occurred in Vegas. For whatever reason, they got in the car together and came down in the Searchlight area right off of that rest stop off the 95 and 163. Mm-hmm. And there was some kind of altercation that occurred, and somebody ultimately lost their life. It was being investigated as self-defense.
Self-defense, okay. So that would be reported in Laughlin statistics?
That's right on the cusp, so it might have been reported in Laughlin statistics.
Okay.
Because that's like right on the border of the Laughlin
other questions for the board? Next informational items, receive a report from Kim Colton, Searchlight Volunteer Fire Department, regarding calls for service during the past month and other fire prevention issues.
Kim Colton, Searchlight Volunteer Fire Department. We had 11 calls for service in July versus 16 in 2023. So we had a decrease from the prior year. Of the 11 calls, six of them were for medical, two auto accidents, and three fires. The three fires, two of them were vehicle fires and one boat fire. One of the things, one of the medical calls was we were able to assist Equinox with transporting. They had an individual that was a heat stroke, heart issues. And so fortunately what Equinox does, even though they're in California, Las Vegas is going to be the closest hospital. So they had a medical unit rescue that they maintain on there, and they got their patient in and started driving here. And then we got them as quickly as we could to the transport ambulance for them to go into Vegas. So we were glad to be able to help Equinox. It's the first accident that we've actually had that we're aware of here in the fire department. So we're glad to be able to do that. Also, I've had a couple residents let me know that I wasn't aware of it, that there was a fire at Cottonwood Cove. So I just checked status. It was up to 1 acre. So it's right there at somewhere in the marina area. So I wanted you all to be aware like that there's rangers on site handling it. And it was reported at 1 acre about an hour ago, but is now down, just got a status at a half acre. So they have it contained. And so if you should, you see some smoke, just be aware that's what it is and it's being handled and we're safe here.
Thank you, Kim. Any questions from the board for Kim? Next informational item, receive a report and updates regarding the Viqua May National Monument from Jimmy Linares, Outdoor Recreation Planner with Bureau of Land Management.
My name's Jimmy Linares, Outdoor Recreation Planner for Viqua May National Monument. I'm here with my manager today, Las Vegas Field Office, Bruce Salitos. If you have questions afterwards, feel free to come up to us. So a couple updates. With the York Fire, just for those of you who are aware that it happened last year, last summer, over by the Crescent Peak area. Obviously it's out now, but we are implementing the what we call the emergency stabilization and restoration phase of the fire, which long-term really brings back well, we hope to have restoration, full restoration of the site. But this initial phase is going to be a lot of collect data collection, signage, educational signage to let folks know how to recreate in the fire area, and also some barriers to help protect some of these more sensitive sites. So you'll see a lot more of our movement out there. Also, I want to remind the community that Walking Box Ranch is still closed to the public. However, through our friends group, Friends of the Viqua May, we do offer monthly cleanups there, so folks can come over and volunteer. Walk onto the grounds and look around. And you can register for that on their website, Friends of Viqua May. Also announcement, National Public Lands Day will occur October 5th this year, a few weeks after what normally is the last Saturday of September. For this year's projects, we'll try to protect some campsites near the weed pump area. A lot of these campsites are just getting bigger over time, more use, so we're gonna try to just delineate them to keep them from growing. In the future, will be some restoration projects back there. But if you don't want to work, come out, hang out at Walking Box Ranch, meet some of our BLM folks, some of our friends, groups, tribe folks, and just walk around the grounds to get to know some of us and get to know the ranch as well. Announcements in terms of partnerships, our proclamation that designated the monument does call for us to develop partnerships with both the Park Service for co-management and then interested tribes for coastal stewardship. We're getting a little bit of progress on both, not much enough other than some tribes like the Fort Mojave Indian Tribe and the Colorado Indian Tribe have shown interest. And once that coast stewardship agreement is in place, we'll be able to sort of co-manage the monument and they'll be able to have a lot of input in terms of implementation level actions in the monument. monument staffing. So I'm currently the only employee on the monument, and that's half the time. So, but good news is October 25th, monument manager will start. So we'll have a full-time monument manager dedicated to the monument. And he'll likely be the one you hear from going forward. So this might be the last I've seen. And also there will be a tribal liaison that will be hired at some point in the near future, and they'll be able to in a more targeted fashion and engage with the tribes, which again is really important for the monument and part of the purpose of the designation of the monument. And then lastly, the sort of big announcement is the Monument Advisory Committee has been chartered. Basically what that is it allows certain members of the public to participate in guiding the progress and the development of the monument. There will be 15 positions open, so the nomination period started the beginning of August. It will end at the end of August, so it's a pretty short window. We are asking for an extension. So, you know, if anybody's interested, please apply. I left some flyers in the back to give you kind of instructions on how to do that. With that said, I will say there are 15 total seats on that advisory committee. Eight of them, the majority of them, will be from tribes. That's the way the proclamation directed us to do. The other seven, however, will be from varied interests, including outdoor recreation activities. So folks who are involved in these communities, dispersed recreation, hunting, wildlife organizations, conservation community, scientific community, local business owners, local government entities, and then local citizens. So the rest of those seats will be just that, as folks from the community that have some interest or involvement in those categories. And like I said, that closes at the end of the month, but we are asking for an extension. I think we'll get it, hopefully we will, and for anyone who's interested, again, you can ask me now or you can ask me at the end of the meeting here, but also some information on that. For those who do want to apply, it's pretty simple. Resume and a couple of letters of recommendations or support letters from either your organization or folks in your community will go a long way to vet us and to allow us to vet those candidates. And that's the end of the report for me. Any questions?
Thank you, Jimmy. Any questions from the board?
All right, thanks, Jimmy.
I didn't know.
Go ahead.
So you talked about the restoration. Like, how many acres are involved?
So the total acreage for the fire that included the acres in Mojave Preserve are 93,000. 8,200 were in the monument here. Restoration for us, really what it is usually protection. It's really slow growing here. Takes hundreds of years really to get it back. So we're just simply trying to protect the environment. We'll do some transplants of some of the larger species, Joshua trees, creosote, and then protect those sites and hope that over a few hundred years, several generations, we'll get some of that habitat back.
Okay, so 8,200 was in the monument,
yes,
from the fire. The rest of it was outside of the monument area.
In California, in the preserve, the Mojave Preserve. Yeah.
Okay. I did have one other question.
Sure.
It's stupid, but Kayla will appreciate this one. So the mega cave that's out here, which is super secret.
Ooh, so secret that I don't know about it.
Is it, what's it called? Mega cave? No.
Super cave.
So, yeah, it was our mission because we didn't know about it, and we found it about 5 years ago. But it was like an Easter egg hunt.
Yeah.
It's a pictograph. What's the colored?
Yeah, pictograph.
Yeah.
Pictograph. That's pictograph on the ceilings.
Oh, nice. You and I might have to talk
about it. That's what I'm saying.
I can't think of
it's such a secret that they don't even tell me about it. So.
It's that secret. I swear. Yeah.
Nice.
So, Judge Hill kind of let it out of the bag and said that he was, he's a keeper of, who was taken as a guest, as their special secret group that monitors these super secret.
While I appreciate that you guys got the chance to go, I will say that the tribes are very protective of the site. So
whatever
that means to you, just know that they are very protective and those are really sensitive sites for them.
We won't even tell you where they're at.
Probably for the friends.
No pictures on Instagram, right?
It's in the monument, though.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Thanks. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Jimmy.
I can't think of the name.
Next informational item, receive a report from Sandra Yashchak with Justice Court regarding statistics and other activities during the past month.
Good to be here. Good to see everybody. Sandra Yusenchak, Searchlight Justice Court. Report for July. Court calendar, we had 10 arraignments, 18 status checks, 27 hearings, 19 walk-ins. Actions taken, we had 263 new civil citations filed. We had 138 criminal citations filed. One probable cause, three new complaints are filed from the DA. New cases, actually closed cases. So in addition of inserting cases, we close cases and collect money. We had 315 that we closed this month, last month. Eight active warrants. Criminal dates, August 13th, August 27th. Traffic court dates are August 14th and August 28th. We just had traffic today. All court dates are open to the public and begin at 10. Any questions?
Questions from the board? All right, thank you, Sandra.
Thank you.
Next informational item, I receive a report from Kathy Flanagan, Las Vegas Valley Water District, regarding the status of the water system.
Hi there. Kathy Flanagan, Las Vegas Valley Water District. I wasn't here last month, but I believe Aaron Gamble had reported that Searchlight's water use for May was a little elevated. He went back and did a thorough review, but we couldn't see a reason. So and the fact that water use has gone back to normal for July, we're attributing that to just the very hot temperatures that we had at the beginning of the summer. For July 2024, Searchlight's water use was 5.3 million gallons, which is a reduction of 9,000 gallons over the same time last year. So you guys are going back to using less. Thank you. There were no major breaks or leaks to report. I do have an update in that Nevada revised statutes requires all water suppliers in Nevada to maintain a water conservation plan and update it every 5 years. We maintain a joint plan for four small systems, Kyle Canyon, Blue Diamond, Gene, and Searchlight. This plan is the one for 2004-2009. We'll be on our website starting August 26th, and it's open for public comment. I think it's a very informative report. It talks about population, climate conditions, the assets that make up your system, what we do as an agency for water management and loss prevention, conservation measures, but it can be made better. If you guys look at it and make comments, we would really appreciate that. So that lasts until September 9th. Then it goes to the state for approval. If the state approves it, our board approves it, and then it's published as a final report. And at that point, I can bring in copies, you know, if anybody wants a hard copy. So I don't know why I'm out of breath. Lastly, in the mail, you may have received your Searchlight water quality report for 2024. I did notice about 30 came back as undeliverable. I went through the addresses, and many of them were good, like Chair Myers. His came back to us, but it was the right address. Some of them, the addresses were a little off, so you might want to go into my account and make sure your address is up to date. But I did leave some hard copies in the back. I am not a scientist, so I'm not going to ask you to ask questions about the report. But if you had questions, the number for our water quality people is in the back, and we'd be happy to answer any questions for you. And that is it. Do we have any questions?
Any questions from the board?
Yes. Can you give us then, not as a scientist view, but a brief overview that are the quality of the water?
Yes. Searchlight's water, it meets or surpasses all data and federal requirements. Arsenic is a naturally occurring mineral, but in large components it can be hazardous. We have arsenic treatments on all of the plants, so you guys, your water is very good. You may have heard quite a bit about the federal lead and copper rule. In large quantities, lead in the pipelines can be hazardous to pregnant women and young children. Searchlight, the LUBWD, we have no lead or copper in our service lines. Some homes that were built before 1990, you might have it in your home plumbing systems. And to detect that, you would need to call a laboratory that would come out and run tests for you. And that there's also information on that in this report, if you were curious. if you just want to be really, really safe, if you haven't used your water in a little while, let it run for 30 seconds before you drink or cook it, and you should be fine.
And do you do treatment to the water when it's pulled out? Like, it's different than Las Vegas water, like, treatment, so yes. Ours is less, or?
We have to treat it to a different standard because Las Vegas is using Colorado River water. You guys are using groundwater, which is actually much cleaner to begin with, but your treatment to it is just as stringent as what we do in Las Vegas.
Adding chemicals, or what kind of treatment?
By law, we are required to add fluoride. That was something that people voted on. I know chlorine can be added to it. The rest of the components, the water quality people can tell you, you know, I don't want to give you misinformation, but I know I drink the tap water all day long. I know tap water is safer than bottled water because we have the federal government watching us to see what we do with the water. They know.
Interesting. Okay, and the last question. So you said that there's a 5-year plan, and you mentioned Kyle Canyon and stuff. Whose plan are we in?
This is the combined one for the small systems. All 4 of those small systems are combined in what will be this plan. So it's about 30 pages. I think it's an interesting read.
Okay, but it doesn't change anything for us in the 5-year?
Nothing for you guys has been changed with respect to water conservation measures.
Okay, good to know. Thank you for the details. Appreciate
sure.
it.
Any other questions from the board? Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you.
Next item on informational items, receive a report and updates from Luis Plancarte.
Any way you want to
I
say it.
I probably butchered that. Community Relations Manager with Equinox Gold.
Thank you. Good evening, members of the advisory board, staff, county staff, members of the public. Luis Plancarte, 980 American Pacific Drive, Suite 102 in Henderson. I serve Equinox Gold as the Director of Community Outreach and Social Responsibility. I'm here today to provide you a quick update on the Castle Mountain Project. As many of you may have heard by now, we are reaching the completion of our Phase 1 operation. We have the ramp up of this facility broken into two parts. Construction of Phase 1 began in October of 2019, and it was successfully completed to get it operating, and we began working. Phase 1 involved the setup of temporary infrastructure, such as power generators, telephone, radio communications, portable office facilities, maintenance shops, and construction of carbon columns, and we began mining operations. Phase 1 mining and crushing started with the use of 2 contractors. PNJ is a mining contractor, and the Atlee is our crushing contractor. This primary phase focused on the stockpile ore from previous operations. So it wasn't true mining, digging. We were just processing previous ore that had been piled. We have reached the completion of Phase 1. And so the question is, what is next? Both PNJ and the Atlee are reaching the end of their work. They will be demobilizing their workforce and their equipment for the next few weeks. One of them might stay a little bit longer to do some work on road maintenance and so on, but they're pretty much getting ready to be mobilized. Castle Mountain will continue to have its company employees working. We roughly have, I'm gonna ballpark it at about 45 to 50 of our own workforce. Some of them have split roles in our Henderson office and here, but those will continue working on the ongoing leaching and production of gold from the pads that we have right now. We estimate that this will go for about another 20 months as we are going through permitting for Phase 2. Our environmental and operation teams will continue to work in monitoring and maintaining compliance and reporting with all the standards that we need. Phase two continues to slowly move forward through the permitting process. We expect BLM to accept our phase two application and deem it complete sometime in the fourth quarter of the year. That will initiate the NEPA process and will probably take 12 to 18 months to get the phase two permitted. Once approved, we'll start construction of phase two. Right now, while that process is going through, our current teams on site are producing gold and continuing to keep the facilities going. We continue to update the equipment, the list of equipment specification and design for all the equipment that will have to be manufactured for our phase two, because it's not equipment you buy off the shelf. Everything has to be made to spec. That continues. We continue to work with the utilities in bringing power to site, and we will continue to comply and report with all permitted activities. You know, we have things out there as water quality reports, air quality, and it just goes on and on. Last but not least, we'll continue to work with and support the community as we move together through the permitting process and on to phase two. So understand that because phase one is complete, we're not going away. We're here. We still own the Coyote Mine. We still have plans for developing that. Once permitted, we expect our construction force to come in of about 500 employees. Once they finish constructing phase two, we will probably have somewhere between the 300 to 350. HR tells me to not use this word, but permanent employees. In other words, employees that will be now dedicated to the operation. And so I know time is precious. I'll answer any questions that you have. And for the community, I'll stick around and answer any questions that you may have about the project. There was a lot of concern that we were shutting down. There's a reason why we have it in phases. That's because a phase has to be completed before the next one goes on. This is just simply the completion of a pre-planned phase. And, you know, unfortunately, it's going to become, for the permitting, a hurry up and wait. But it's part of the process that has to be followed. And it is what it is.
Thank you, Luis. Any questions from the board?
Yep. So, during these 2 years, then, says there's going to be a ramp up process in about 2 years with about 500 employees needed to do the construction. You know, the concerns on housing during this time, then, you know, you own the Coyote Mine. Would you be working on permits to try and get that established for RV sites for them to be at? Or, I mean, it is a concern here, our housing issues, that we don't have any. And we, you know, we have the housing development, but it's held up with county and water issues and things that I think that we need to figure out how to get those resolved so that we can get housing here for people to live, for your sake and for our community's sake. People on the streets that don't have ability to rent, because there is nothing for rent.
So your question was, will you be doing housing at Coyote?
Mm-hmm.
The answer is yes. We will have both a drive-through or drive-up for fifth wheels and trailers, as well as housing for those that will be here. I myself probably envision I'm going to call it a community center, where there'll be laundromats and maybe a small grocery for the people that live there on a regular basis. We're not going to go full out construction, because eventually when construction crews come out, you know, they travel for the company that does construction. And so everybody comes in their fifth wheels and their trailers, and then when the construction is done, they go on to their next job. And so we have to keep a balance between work crew housing and trailer park. And so we will be designing and looking at that. We've already engaged a company out of Henderson that is working on looking at the lots, how this can be done. Coyote will serve probably a whole bunch of other purposes. For example, we have semi-trucks that bring us products, and the drivers run out of hours that they can drive, so they need to sleep and rest for so many hours before they can drive again. So I can imagine in the back of the facility having some kind of a similar to a rest stop where you have places where they can sleep, you know, rest. They probably will have showers there. We will probably have a warehouse that will grow larger than that. It's 103 acres.
103?
103.
At Coyote?
At Coyote. Made up of nine different lots or nine different properties. Some of the properties split buildings right down the middle of property lines. So we'll have to adjust all that. That'll kind of be my homework for the next 2 years. And, you know, eventually we'll start looking at that. One of the questions that comes up is water or well. We'll have to look at both.
Okay, good. That's good to know that you're looking at, because it is a concern to have that many people, you know, with no abilities here in Searchlight to do that at this time.
And we also have to think what happens with that infrastructure once it reduces, right? Right. So it does us no good, anybody, to go out and build up huge infrastructure to then have our officers have to respond to vacant properties that are getting vandalized. And so it's a structured and measured and planned out growth and then shrinkage.
Okay, good. I'm glad you guys are looking at it that way. Wait, I did have one more question. I forgot it like three times now. Should some of the businesses, because I drove by the motel and see there's no cars in the parking lot, and so that explains it, because they're, you know, it's always been filled with your subcontractors or contractors.
I thought you were going to say that explains the leasing and the gun branding.
No. But so that businesses can expect a decrease from, at least from that, you know, market that
yes.
we're getting for 2 years.
And the day that that our workforce, the athlete and PJ, were told of what was happening, when it gets about 45 minutes later, I was at Crease. 15 minutes after that, I was at the hotel. I went to the businesses that I knew would be affected and gave them a heads up. I wanted to make sure that they heard from the company what the company's reasoning was. Because a lot of times when we don't have all the facts, people start filling in blanks, mm-hmm. human nature. But then we've all played telephone, right? And we know how the story ends or it doesn't end by the last person. And so I personally spent that whole day and the following morning here talking to members of the community and businesses, and letting them know that, number one, our commitment will still go on. We will not change, and that it's, you know, we've reached the end of this phase. I am going to guess that we probably completed phase one 60 days, maybe 90 days before the original thought process was back in 2019, right? So for a guesstimate, the engineers didn't do too bad.
Fantastic, and thank you for thinking of the businesses, because that's my concern, is those small businesses
and
their impact.
I personally made sure that I went and I spoke to Donna, and I worked my way all the way through to make sure that they knew what was going on.
Good, thank you.
Thank you.
Next informational item, receive a report from Will Smith, Clark County Water Reclamation District, regarding the status of wastewater system, water usage. It's not here. Kayla, please. Thank you.
So July 2024 treated an average of 46,000 gallons per day. Last year had an average of 43,000 gallons per day. The flow increased by 3,000 gallons per day from last year at this time. No sewer service complaints for the month of July. Zero call before you dig tickets. And on the back, you'll see an influent monthly flow comparison.
Thank you, Kayla. Any questions from the board? Next informational item, receive a report from Parks and Recreation regarding the status of programs and upcoming activities.
Elon Bilbray, Clark County Parks and Recreation. Statistics for Searchlight for July, 5 programs, 136 visits. My only update right now is that I offered the recreation specialist job last week and they accepted. So as soon as they pass background check and everything, I'll bring them in to meet you guys. I also offered the youth programming Slim Kidwell Center job today, and it was accepted as well. So all positions are taken care of now.
That's fantastic. Are they local?
Yes. One person. The person here is local. The person for the recreation specialist job is not local. That's all I have.
All right, thank you. Board, any questions?
No upcoming programming or anything going on? Because
yes, there will be. Yeah, I should have Halloween information at the next town board meeting.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Next informational item, receive a report from Kelly Lear, Southern Clark County Coordinator with UNR Extension, regarding the status of programs and upcoming activities.
I'm going to get close because I was having a hard time hearing. I think I'm going deaf. Kelly Lehr, LEHR, University of Nevada, Reno Extension. We finished a Literature in the Garden summer programming series on July 24th. So we had the kids in the library for a little bit, and they were doing some work in the garden. If you looked out the window and saw there, I just told Sandy that her garden looks really good. She's got some stuff growing in there next to Kayla and Bill's. And even though it's been extremely hot, the kids planted some things and they're growing, so it was kind of exciting to do that, even with the hot weather. This fall, we're going to be working on Lego robotics for the first six weeks, and Devin is also offering an Outdoor Nevada program, and she's going to begin that on September 16th from 10 to 2. The first field trip is exploring Christmas Tree Pass, and she's going to have more information to follow a flyer and pre-registration, obviously, for some transportation issues. But she's going to try and offer these when there are teacher in-service days. There seems to be so many more than when I was teaching. And so those days are empty for the kids. And so she's trying to get them out to do kind of an Explore Nevada just within the area and do some hiking and look at petroglyphs. But not go and look at any caves they're not supposed to get. But anything cool around the area. The Searchlight Betterment Organization is still working on the grant writing for a shade structure that will go over the entire 30 by 50 garden. Tricky, we don't have irrigation yet, so Kayla waters on the weekend and Michelle waters during the week, and nobody will return my emails from county because I think I'm a pest, but we need to get the irrigation in, and the irrigation is attached to the grant, or was. I think we're going to take it off. It's taking too long, but the shade structure paperwork came through, and so Michelle's writing that. I just wrote a letter for the actual packet information. Las Vegas Valley Water District has come multiple times, and I think you notice it on the backside of the building. They've just been instrumental in delivering free material, which I just love that word, free. It's slate for walkways so that people can use walkers and wheelchairs and access it, or just have an even area to walk with the slate. And then the ground cover that we're going to distribute on the ground to bring the dust level down, but we're kind of waiting for irrigation before we get that spread out. Devin attended the health fair and the Reed Elementary School open house last week to assist Clark County with their back-to-school needs. And we had a UNR Extension health and nutrition specialist show up. I'd like to get them out here a little bit more and more often to interact with the seniors and the kids especially, because they have some great resources. That's not my background, but we have an entire unit of people at UNR Extension that specialize specifically on that, and so I really want to get them into the senior center and into our youth programming and see what they can do to help. Free programming, that's that word again, we love that. We're hopeful we can provide 4-H programming to the older group this year, so that'll be junior high and high school. And I just caught the bus drivers today because there's kind of a funky bus schedule where they drop the kids off at the park, but not necessarily here, and we're going to work with Tyler and Michael. They're going to allow us to use the library for the older kids, and we're going to try. They expressed an interest when I talked to them over the summer about outdoor activities, but the boys specifically, mechanics and robotics, and we want to build things, Kelly. We want to do small engines, and of course, I don't think that's what the girls said, but we're going to call it Team Survivor, And with all those above mentioned things that they're excited about, we're also going to throw in fishing and sewing and cooking and all of those 4-H things that are really rich to the programming and archery skills. And so I think the kids will be excited about that and keep them coming back on a Friday evening when not necessarily they have a whole lot going on. So that'll give them a kind of a club with their own age group instead of mingling with the kindergarten and first graders. So we're looking and we're encouraged about the turnout at the library. Devin and I will attend a first robotics orientation. It's a nationwide robotics program. And it's next week, and so we're going to see if we can get some interested young kids involved in the robotics program. And I've talked to Luis about that too, because his engineers might be able to help as well. And we ultimately want them to learn how to build and code and create robots. And this year's theme is underwater, and so they give you the theme and they give them all the specifics, and then they have to come up with a robot that does certain things. And so I want to learn more about that and see if we can't bring that to Searchlight. The thought is that all the outlying townships for Nevada will compete against each other. So it'll be Pahrump, and it'll be Logandale, and it'll be Searchlight, and it'll be Laughlin, and then that way the travel is not immense, but it'll be kind of fun because it'll be a robotics team, and they can build some friendships there and seek some mentors. We are interested in adult volunteers. We're interested in people that are interested in robotics. And there's a Saturday kickoff workshop event on September 21st. It's in Las Vegas, but we can figure out the transportation if we had anybody that had a background in engineering or robotics that would like to maybe take that on, so we could help out. We have flyers in the back for the Senior Healthy Living. It's a monthly newsletter, and I put it back on the table every month. And then we also have a flyer for our Laughlin guest speaker. ML is going to come in October. He's presenting on living with arachnids in the desert Southwest. So he's going to bring his spiders and his scorpions, but he's going to keep them in their cages. And then I just wanted to say I was picking up some plaques at a trophy place in Las Vegas, and so I had to show Officer Jeter that on their back wall is a huge picture of him with Coach Tarkin. So I took the picture and it's on my phone. So if any of you are interested in seeing him with hair on his head and no facial hair and no glasses, I got a good one for you. Any questions for me?
Any questions from the board?
I do have Kelly. I believe next garden meeting there is going to be a visitor or presenting a tree trimming.
Yes, so she's called the tree lady, Lisa Ortiz. She actually donated the trees out there that we're going to plant when the weather gets a little cooler. And she's going to be out at 5 o'clock, the next town hall advisory board meeting here in this room, and she's going to be talking about pruning, so preparing your trees for the winter. Thank you for that, Kayla. And then I'm going to leave Ollie at UNLV. It's a magazine, and it is classes for seniors, and kind of neat. They have all kinds of different classes, some online and some in person, and Ollie stands for the gentleman who is a UNLV guru. His last name's Osher, O-S-H-E-R, and he started a lifelong learning institute, and so he's got all these wonderful classes. So if anybody's interested in it, you're not that far away here, but also if they offer it and it's a Zoom meeting or a Teams meeting or something like that, that might be a good opportunity to check some things out. I mean, it's a huge book in UNLV. I'm also a graduate. Not bad. They offer a lot of good things, so I'll leave that.
I just wanted to say thank you for taking the kids to Grapevine Canyon. Like, I never thought about just actually exploring our amazing area, because Grapevine Canyon is sacred. And, like, we've never had a program like that where someone's offered to do a field trip and take them down there. So
Devin's excited about it. She has a lot of different places in her book that she wants to take the kids to just to see. And I grew up in a pretty neat area, but I never appreciated it until I moved away. So you'd like to show the kids exactly where they live and, you know, Aviquame. It's beautiful. Like, they need to know all these places around them. They're very fortunate. So she's excited.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly. Next informational item, I receive a report from Tyler Young, Searchlight Library, regarding current and upcoming programs.
Hello, Tyler Young, manager of the Searchlight Library. I have just three pieces of information for you this night. September 6th, we're going to have Maria Pendleton out here in the multimedia room, or the multipurpose room. She is a folk artist. She'll do fiddle, vocals, guitar, and a whole bunch of other things. That's going to be at 11:30 a.m. on a Friday. We know we have a bit of an early bird crowd here, so we want everyone to come out and enjoy that if they can. And then October 18th, which is another Friday, we're going to have a program called MoneyWise. They're coming out from Vegas. They are a financial literacy group. They'll teach budgeting, savings, investments, things like that. And they'll be out here for an hour. So if you guys can come on out on October 18th, which is a Friday, 3 p.m. The library closes at 2, but this is an after-hours program. So I'll still be here in the building. The doors will be open. Anybody can come on in and join. So. And the last thing is, we were approved for a 3D printer in the library.
Whoa.
So that's really exciting. We're looking in the fall area, somewhere where around probably October as well. IT has been out. They've measured the room. They've talked about what kind of desk we're going to get, how we can make it fit in the library. But yeah, it's official that Searchlight will have their own 3D printer. All materials are free. This will cost the public nothing. You guys can just come in. You do have to take a test, learn the machine. I have to do the same thing. But after everyone is certified, they can use the printer all they want. There'll be reservation times if anybody needs it, because printing can take hours. But filament, cost, all that is all on the library. Wow. You guys just come on in and enjoy it and have fun with the 3D printer.
Awesome.
I don't know the size just yet.
Thank you, Tyler. I appreciate all you do. And again, thank you for all the great programs you had for us and the kids over the summer. I know it was a big success. And again, thank you so much. Any other questions from the board?
Thank you.
Next informational item, report from Kyle Myers regarding current road conditions and public works concern. Kyle is not here tonight. I don't have any other information. And also, if announcements of upcoming neighborhood meetings in county or community meetings and events. Any, Judy, go ahead.
Judy Bendorf, Grandpa's Road in Henderson, and this is from Friends of Abiquimé. Every first Saturday of the month, we do have something going on at Walking Box Ranch. When it's been so hot, we've been having like a speaker series. It's in the morning on Saturdays. And as the weather's cooling off, we usually get out there like at 9, and we'll be doing some more landscape cleanup and so forth. All of this information is on our website, Friends of Abiquimé. This Saturday, the September 7th, the speaker will be Kim Garrison Means on native plants, sharing ecological and cultural stories of 12 different native plants, along with specimens to smell and eat. You can register for these events online at our website, so we get an idea of headcount. On our website, some of these have been posted. Alan O'Neill has done some very detailed descriptions of backcountry drives. So go there and you can see where some of the roads would be that you can travel through the National Monument now. On November 16th, we're going to have the Astronomical Society out and we'll have a stargazing event. But that's it for the moment.
Okay. Judy, what's the website if people want to look for this information?
Just Google Friends of Abiquimé, and it should come up. Okay. It's a little abbreviated, I think, on the internet, but And it talks about past events, future events, and those backcountry drives. We'll eventually have those possibly in a book with a map. But right now it's online, and each description is very thorough. He will indicate if the roads can be traveled by a sedan or if you need four-wheel drive or high clearance. And of course that changes with the weather, so.
Thank you, Judy. Any questions from the board? No? Any other announcements for events coming up, activities, community meetings? Next item on the agenda, planning and zoning. There are no issues. General business, no issues. And here's the period where we do comments by the general public, a period devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to the board council's jurisdiction will be held. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. Comments are limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium if applicable. Clearly state your name and address. Please spell your last name for the record. If a member of the board wishes to extend the length of the presentation, this will be done by the chairperson or the board by majority vote. Any comments from the public? Yes, Judy, go ahead.
Judy Bundorf, B-U-N-D-O-R. Out in our neighborhood off of Grandpa's Road, we are having some issues with squatters. I'll be filing with, Click It to Fix It on Clark County Zoning. Get zoning involved because these people are living on property they don't own. I don't know how many people are out there. There is no water, no electricity, no sewer system. And there have been numerous junk cars hauled out there and a number of trailers. I will try to get pictures of that, but I hope to go online tomorrow and file with the county to have them come out. So. And the owner on one parcel is in Texas, so that's not very helpful. The other party, because there's two lots kind of close together, is local, so we'll see if zoning can handle that with them. Thanks.
Thanks again, Judy.
Possibly Metro from time to time could cruise through there and see what's going on. So far we haven't had any fires, which is a serious concern because of the quite a lot of growth this spring, and then now it's dry. And I'm not sure how these people are surviving.
Any other comments from the public? All right, our next meeting date is September 11, 2024. Meeting is adjourned.
Good job, Dave.
Did it survive?
No water as well. I'm surprised.
What did you say?
I said I did it with no water.
With no water? Oh, I had to drink four things of water too.
Good job.
Thank you.